Okay, so I'm told that we are holding on Pehei Amud Aleph, while the Mishkachas Lehu, 12 lines from the top. Okay, the Gemara has been talking about the concept that each of the five things, Nezek, Cloud, Ribu, Shevis, and Boshes, can be on its own. And we had Limudim, we had Radape, Yudape, to say that you pay Refuah even when there is Nezek, implying there can be Refuah even without Nezek. There can be the payment for medical bills with or without Nezek. Even if there's Nezek, the Torah is telling us that Ripui is paid as well. You don't say that it's all that's included. So the implication is that we can find each of the other four things, Tzar, Ripui, Shevis, and Boshes, we can find them independently of Nezek. There can be a case where a person is liable for one or another of those things without there being Nezek. So how do you find that? What are some scenarios? So like this. Tsar, kidkatoni. Tsar, we know, it's said in the Mishnah. Tsar, what's an example of paying tsar? Gvoi b'shfude b'masmer, if he burnt him with a hot metal stick, bit, or b'masmer, with a nail, b'afil al tupone m'akum sheino itzichabura, even if it was on his fingernail, place where it doesn't cause a wound, then so there's no nezek involved, because he hasn't lost any value. Nobody would buy him as a slave for any less than they would if that hadn't happened. There's no real ripui or shevis or boshet either, but there is some. But we're talking about at the time. No, the fascists, we're not assuming it's going to get infected, but yes. Okay, so there you have tsar by itself. What's an example where you have to pay ripui by itself without anything else? Dav koiv lemidi. Suppose that the person already had some kind of sore, something that was hurting him. The solik, and it was healing. But isolay samacharifa, this person, the mazik, brought a sharp, strong kind of medicine, and applied it. And he applied it, and that it whitened his skin. It created a white patch on his skin. So Rashi says it really looks like tzarash now. So now he has to pay for medical bills. He has to pay for medicine to get his skin back to the normal color. Rabbeinu Yohanan actually
takes that from.
That's because that's the idea. Because we know the Torah tells us you have to pay ripui, v'rapa yirapa. So the implication is not only when there was nezek, here there's no real nezek involved. Again, it's not like anybody would pay any less for an eved who has a case of vitiligo, you know, where part of his skin is white instead of the normal color. So there wouldn't be that. There's not really any shevet or boshes, maybe a little, but okay, let's say it's a part of his skin that's usually covered. So there wouldn't be boshes either. All there is ripui.
So we know it's a case.
That's a case. There's a case where you'd have to pay ripui all by itself. Rabbi Yohanan, by the way, puts it a little bit differently. He says, I mean, because, you know, the Gemara scenario, the way we're explaining it, doesn't necessarily require that the guy already had an injury that required medicine. I mean, it would be the same kind of thing. If he just took a chemical and applied it to the guy's skin and turned it white, the same thing would apply. So Rabbi Yohanan explains it slightly differently. He says that the person was already, the person was already under medical care for some previous injury or whatever. The doctor is putting medicine, chemicals on his skin. Instead, this guy, the mazik, pays off the doctor to use a stronger chemical which ends up whitening his skin. So now he needs treatment for what the doctor missed for the doctor's malpractice. Well, that's what it is. No, not insurance, but whatever he needs to be. Shevis, what's an example of Shevis all by itself without anything else? Dehadke b'indiruno b'atle. Simple, you lock him up in a room and prevent him from working. So again, there's no nezek, no tsar, no etc. All there is Shevis. And boshes is zirokle b'atle. For example, suppose he spit in the guy's face. So there's none of the other things, but there is boshes. So there you have, each one can be by itself.
So we know all this already, but how do we prove that it can be by itself?
That's the point. The Gemara is giving us to now, given that we were being told, given that we have Lemudim from Psukim, that even when there's Nezek, you still have to pay Tsar, even when there's Nezek, you still have to pay Ripui, etc. Given that the Gemara was looking for a scenario, okay, so if the Pasuk's implying that you have to pay, for example, Tsar when there's Nezek, the implication is there can be Tsar without Nezek. If the Torah is telling us you have to pay Ripui with Nezek, the implication is there can also be Ripui without Nezek. So now we have scenarios for all of them. Okay. The Mishnah said, Shevet Roy Noisekilu Shema Kishurin, and how do we calculate Shevet? We picture as if the guy was watching cucumbers while they're growing. You need a watchman there to make sure people don't pick them early, and you pay him accordingly.
I think it's squirrels.
What?
To watch for squirrels.
To watch for squirrels, to watch for people, yeah, whatever it is. Okay.
Okay.
Sure, yeah, fine. Okay, so squirrels, people, whatever. Anything that could damage the cucumbers, yeah.
You
want
people who need
yeah.
that shit.
Okay, no, come on.
The job that,
no, that's a low pay. I'll do that, but that's a low paying job.
The damaged person, any damaged person could do it.
Yeah. Okay. So, turn it up on it.
Maybe there is even lower
yeah. ones. Yeah, turn it up on it. Shevet Roino Tekilu Roshemet Kishorin. So, yeah, the Braisa says the same thing as the Mishnah, that you've calculated the wages that he could have earned as a watchman of cucumbers. Since now, while he's recovering from his injury, he can't even do that. So, you pay him for that. Now, the problem is, the entire locks the minute
that
he is.
You pay
at, like this, for example, a cucumber watchman, let's say, would get $10 a day. Okay, fine, $5 an hour, let's say, fine. So now, let's say, for example, let's take it like this. Once his hand or his foot has been chopped off, let's say, he can never go back to the work that he was doing before. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but let's assume he can never go back to the work that he was doing before.
Which was...
Whatever it was, he was doing. So now, from now on, so Rashi learns that we're talking about we're dealing with what's going to happen from now on. From now on, he's not fit for the original work he was doing, but he will eventually be able to be, for example, a cucumber watchman, which pays $5 an hour. So now, the point is, though, one second, while he's recovering from the injury, he can't even be doing that. So that's what you pay him. And you consider it takes him 2 weeks to recover. During those 2 weeks, at $5 an hour, for watching cucumbers, he could have made, I don't know, $100, whatever. So therefore, that's the amount you pay him for Shevet, $100. The Imtoma locks it. Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos learns that, as we'll see in the Gemara, that the point is rather we're focusing on what he could have done previously before he was injured. So wait, we'll get back to that. Wait. The Imtoma locks a Midas Adin. So you might argue that in that case, then the Midas Adin seems to be improper. It seems that you're not paying him enough. The chimitpa chai gavra, because when this person is well, so Rashi learns it means when he recovers, eventually he's going to recover from the pain from the injury. He'll still be handicapped for the rest of his life because he lost his arm or leg or what have you. But once he recovers from the immediate pain and suffering and is able to go back to work, you could argue lav agud d'shem k'shurim hushakel fine. But at that point, he's not going to only be earning $5 an hour for watching cucumbers. El abdoli davla b'shakel agra. He could, for example, be drawing water and getting more than $5 an hour. Inami also b'shliach b'shakel agra. Or he could be a courier. He could be like delivering mail, and also be getting paid more for that. So why are you paying him for those 2 weeks that he was recovering at the rate of only $5 an hour as a shomer kishurin, when eventually, when he recovers, he'll be able to make 8 or 10 or whatever it is, dollars an hour?
See why we have to assess from the time he's going to recover. Why don't we assess from the time prior to the injury?
Okay, so that's the thing. So Tosfos learns that the question is, what about what he was doing beforehand? Like this beforehand, he was doing a job that was worth $10 an hour. Now, like this, you're saying you're only paying him for those 2 weeks that he's out of work, you're paying him only $5 an hour. Okay, it's two different ways of understanding the question. Anyway, the point is that's the answer. Loy loksa, the answer is it's not an improper judgment, because you already paid him for his hand and his foot. Meaning, in other words, that, so again, according to Rashi that we're talking about in the future, up until now he would have been able to be drawing water or be a courier or whatever. Now his hand is permanently cut off. He's never going to be able to do water drawing again. He's never going to be able to do that work again. Fine, but the calculation of that is included in Nezik. When you're saying, what is Nezik? Nezik consists of, you figure out how much he would have been worth as a slave with a hand versus without a hand. Factored into that is how much earning potential he's going to have. So you don't need to consider that. All you need to consider is, fine, but during these couple of weeks that he's recovering, he can't do any work. Even work that he would be able to do in the future, such as watching cucumbers, he couldn't do even that during those 2 weeks that he was recovering. And therefore, that's you pay him accordingly. Again, according to Tosfos, it's the other way around, that we're talking about up until now he could have done other kinds of work, or he would have been able to watch cucumbers, he would have been able to do other kinds of work. fine. But now, as soon as he was injured, from then on, he's never going to be able to do the old work that he was doing, drawing water or a courier or what have you. Therefore, you can't, but again, that gets factored into Nezek. Therefore, Sheves consists of only what he could have done during that period, but now he couldn't because he was in pain, and that is at like a Shema Kishurim.
Something that doesn't make sense here. Let's say he was injured at a limb. So his value as a person is X amounts of dollars less than the value in an Evet. That should be the Nezek.
That is Nezek. That's what I say. Nezek is the permanent difference in value. Sheves is the temporary fact. Later on, the Gemara is going to talk about Sheves double and Sheves cut.
The difference between the five and ten, and the Sheves is first to
get. No, but we're saying here that the Nezek is also includes the loss of work. Present,
the loss of not present, future.
Future.
The fact that the fact, in other words, up until now he could have been doing work that's worth $10 an hour. And therefore, over an expected lifetime, he would do, if somebody were to buy him as an Eved and use him for this kind of work, over his lifetime, he could expect to get, I don't know, $30,000 worth of work.
So the Nezek between the 5 and 10.
Yes. That's now, from now on, he can never do the $10 an hour job anymore. He can only do a $5 an hour job. If you were to buy him as an Eved at that point, he would only get $15,000 worth of work out of him. Therefore, the difference of Nezek is $15,000, as they expected, the difference in expected earning and value that before and now. So Sheves is something else. Sheves, we're saying, is fine, but ultimately he'll be able to do a $5 an hour job. But while he's recovering, during those 2 weeks or what have you, he can't even be doing that. That's
right.
What you're paying him for. That's
right.
What you're paying. So that you do with a Shem
Kishur.
Right.
That I understand. But I think it's extending it to say that the loss of the limb is the equivalent to the loss of work coming in the future.
But it's not. I mean, it's work and it's other things also. Again, it's, you know, I mean, how do you calculate the value of the loss of a limb? The major thing. I mean, you know, this is how insurance companies do it nowadays. Also, it's in terms of future
loss.
The
loss of the limb is. The loss of the limb is he's not going to live 70 or 80 years because he loses a leg. He's going to live 60 years, let's say.
Nah, losing a leg is not going to shorten his lifespan.
It very well.
No, okay. Maybe they take. I don't think they take that into calculation. I don't think they.
Obviously don't.
You can't quantify that. So you have
the slave when the owner buys a slave,
mm-hmm.
He also makes a profit. So I'm saying, now this person lost a hand.
Yeah.
So the cost of the hand. I'm saying the ball of the event gets more than just the cost of the hand. Maybe he doubles the cost of the slave. But I don't buy a slave just to get even.
When
I buy a slave, I get the, I want to get the profit. Whatever.
Yeah, the profit is
double,
the amount of the profit is the amount of work you
so
expect
when,
to get
when
out
you
of it.
When you calculate, it says that you get the difference in price of the event.
Yeah.
That looks like they take into concern the profit that the ball would make on.
You're considering how much would a person be willing to buy an Evan with or without a hand.
Right.
Yeah, that'll factor in profit. It'll factor in whatever factors go into pricing an Evan.
And as it goes way beyond the amount of.
I don't think it really affects
the
price.
Sure.
Okay. Okay.
But this is the way the Chachomim evaluate.
Yeah.
Through the slave. This is. How did it figure out?
It's practically speaking, how else are you supposed to do it? It seems that that's the only reasonable way to do it. Okay. Anyway, Tosfos does point out, by the way, that all of this is only talking about if you're talking about an unskilled person who doesn't have any particular skill, so therefore you have to consider in terms of cucumbers or in terms of other things that the Gemara is going to talk about in a minute. If, let's say, for example, Tosfos gives examples. If he was a Melamed, for example, then, you know, he's not, you don't consider him like a cucumber watchman because he could still be a Melamed. If he knew how to sew, if he knew how to pierce pearls or whatever, then again, you know, you take that into consideration.
Well, very strict definition of that.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, let's go on.
It is
okay. Amar Rava. Suppose a person chops off somebody's hand, Okay, so he can't do whatever kind of work he would have done until now. He can't be a porter, let's say, but he can still do some other kind of work. So you give him the value of the hand, again, the difference in value as a slave with and without a hand. The Shevet, and how do you pay the Shevet? So as the Mishnah said, you consider as if he was a cucumber watchman and pay him the wages of a cucumber watchman for that time while he's recovering. Now suppose he breaks his leg. So Rashi learns, and various Mefarshim talk about, are we talking about it's the same person over and over again? The Reuven first chopped off Shimon's hand, now he broke Shimon's leg, and then they talk about within that, does it mean while he's still recovering? What are we talking about after he recovered? Or some Rishonim say that not necessarily. Tosfos, for example, says that no, we're talking about separate cases. One where he chopped off his hand, another case where he chopped off his foot, etc. Anyway,
he's 60 years old, he doesn't work, and he breaks his...
There's still something he can do for work. How does he have that work?
That's tricky. And if you consider just the amount of work that he's going to lose, obviously he's not going to lose much because he's at an age where he can't.
But the fact is, he could have been a cucumber watchman. He could have hired himself. We'll see further. Healing is Ripley. That's something else. We're talking Shevet. We're talking about lost earning. Lost earning potential. Okay. So if he had no earning potential, we'll see examples of that soon, then fine. But if he has earning potential, okay, practically speaking, he wasn't working, but he had the potential.
So the Nezek is a loss in earning potential?
No, the Nezek is a loss of earning potential for the rest of his life. Shevet is the loss of earning potential during the time he's recovering.
Right.
Okay. Anyway. So if he broke his foot, then he gives him the value of his foot. The Shevet, and what do we do as far as Shevet? So he can't be a cucumber watchman because that involves walking around. Instead, so you evaluate for Shevet as if he was a watchman by a door. There he can stand in one place, so there it doesn't matter that he's missing a foot. Simeus, what if he blinded his eye? So he gives him the value of his eye. The Shevet, as far as Shevet, you pay him according to how much a person would be paid to turn a millstone. So Tosfos, by the way, discusses, are we talking about over here, Tosfos discusses the possibility that maybe we're talking about over here, let's say with the feet, that he broke both of his feet. So he can't stand at all. And the same thing with the eyes would mean that he blinded him in both eyes. If he had one eye, then sure, he could do most jobs that he could do with two eyes. He can still do with one. But he were talking about if he's completely blinded, fine, but he can still be turning a millstone. The first one point out, Shimshon, you have that after the Plishtim blinded him. Attacker says that they had him turning a millstone in the prison. Yeah. There's other Mefarshim explain that Matchine Berechayim may mean not that he himself turns the millstones, but rather that he guides the animals to do it. Okay. Anyway. Chershoy, now what happens if he made him deaf? But now he can't hear, then you have to pay him for his entire value, because when he's deaf, he's useless for any kind of work. So you can't say, in other words, you can consider that during this time he's recovering, he could have been a cucumber watchman, he could have been a door watchman, etc. During this time he's recovering, he's not able to do anything at all.
So if he was a musician, I'd say you're going to sit paying the same amount as if he was
That's what Tosfos is saying. You have to consider what he was doing before. All this time we're talking about if he had no particular skilled job. Yeah, he was just,
How are you going to pay him if he was a musician?
If he was a musician.
The difference between
as a musician, he was able to earn X amount. Now that he's deaf, I mean, you never know. He could be like Beethoven and compose even when he's deaf, but come on, you know, yeah. Anyway, let's carry on. By the way, in a number of places in Chassidus, it talks about a point based on this. You see, you know, usually we talk about seeing is greater than hearing. Here we see an example where hearing is actually a person's whole value is based on their ability to hear. Because if you can't hear, you can't follow orders, and then that way you're useless as an Eved. And that applies also, therefore, in Avodah, it means a person has to have the ability to hear, to have Kabbalah's oil to the Eved there, otherwise, yeah.
You hear?
Yeah. Boy, Kotas Yodeh, what if a person chops off somebody's hand? V'loy amduhu, Beistin did not have a chance yet to estimate the actual value of Ripui and Shevet and so forth. Shibir Sragloi, then he broke his foot, Veloyam Duhu, and they also didn't estimate the value. Simes Ene Veloyam Duhu, he blinded him, it blinded his eye, and they hadn't yet done the evaluation. And then at the end, he makes him deaf, where we just said, when he's deaf, he can't do anything. Mahu. Miyamrin, and do we say, since all this time, based on not yet evaluated the amount of the damages, b'chad umdana sagile, so maybe it's enough to do one evaluation, and therefore he just pays him his entire value, because again, as a cheresh now, he's completely worthless for work. Therefore, you just pay him the entire value, and that's that. I do a chod and be even and like, or maybe we evaluate them one at a time. So Rashi points out, when it comes to nezek, it doesn't really matter. Either way, whether you do it piecemeal or whether you do it all at once, it's still going to be the same amount of nezek. But the point is, nafkamine deboy lemeisav like tsar boshes to chod v'choda. The nafkamine would be, does he have to pay him separately tsar and boshes for each one? Well, that's the question. Now, granted, you don't pay him separate nezek for each one, or separate ripui for each one, or separate sheves for each one, because once you're already paying his entire value as a person, it's the equivalent of you killed him. Therefore, there's no separate nezek and sheves and so forth to talk about. Tosfos has some problems with the issue of ripui, and therefore Tosfos learns that Tosfos takes that word ripui here and puts it in the second category that the Gemara is asking about.
But then there's a cost, if they would judge him every time, he could have gotten more money.
No, but that's the point. In the end, you're paying the entire nezek, you're paying the full value, how much he would have been sold as an eved, as a healthy person, versus now where he's completely worthless as an eved. So therefore, it automatically includes the loss in value for his eye and for his hand and for his foot. Yeah. And ripui, Rashi says the difference is ripui is the fact is he didn't heal in between, so there's no ripui to pay for. So again, Tosfos learns differently because Tosfos says ripui after all is supposed to be the doctor bills. I mean, just so safe. You know, he does have to have treatment for his eye. He does have to have treatment for his hand, etc. Yeah. So he's paying him the whole thing. The question is, do we say that he pays him separately for each one, tsar and boshes, because he should have to pay separately for each one, because each injury caused him tsar and caused him boshes? So yes or no, do we say that or not? So you might answer that, okay, let's say, for example, and as usually by an imkim tsaloima, the halacha is like that. So yeah, since they didn't yet do an evaluation, then you just pay him the entire amount. You pay him the entire amount that he would have been sold for as an eved, as a healthy person, and that's that. Then let's ask a different question. Amduhu mahu, what if they did evaluate each time? He cut off his hand and they went to Beis Din and said that between Nezek and Sar and so on and so forth, you owe him $5,000. Then he chopped off his leg and they did another evaluation and came that you have to pay him now $6,000. Then he did his eye additional. Yeah. Then he did his eye and then they said $7,000. And now he made him deaf. So Miyamrina and Kivendam Dru Khada Khada Boilame. So now since each one was a separate evaluation, maybe he has to pay each one individually. Odilma, or maybe not, Kivendale Shalim, since the fact is he hadn't paid yet at that point. Yoivlaid may call it. Maybe at that point you just pay the entire value of him again, because once you made him deaf, it's the equivalent of as if you killed him. He has no more value on the market at all. So maybe you just pay him one amount for that and not the individual amounts. Cool. So as usual, the halacha is, you know, you can't force him to pay those individual amounts, but if he was topus, then he gets to keep it.
Well, with the cheresh, he wasn't cheresh, and he could read the instructions, right?
Right. Now he's cheresh, he can't listen to it. Now he's cheresh.
He
can't hear instructions.
But he could read instructions.
He could read instructions.
So are you saying that when a person becomes cheresh, something his mind changes?
No, because we're not necessarily talking. No, because we're not talking. No.
Well, here he could read instruction, do what he's a powerful man.
It's true.
So why are you doing each other?
Because we assume that you're giving it. We assume that you're giving him instructions verbally.
You read instructions.
I know, but you can't write down all the instructions. Tosfos, by the way.
But simple job, they move stones. Okay. Take the pile of stones, move to.
Fine, but you're not going to write out detailed instructions for that. Nobody's going to hire a person like that. I don't know. Tosfos, by the way, does make a distinction between when a person is deaf, bidei Adam, because of human causation, like here, versus bidei Shemayim, when they became deaf naturally, bidei Shemayim, there's a difference over here. Rabbi Natash says that there's a difference. If he's bidei Adam, then he's completely worthless for work.
In the Family Dollar, there's a guy who's working there who's a total sheriff, cannot hear anything, but he's working.
Look, you know what? Nowadays it's different anyway, because now even we've learned all over in the Gemara about the typical cheref that he can't hear and he can't speak, where usually he's considered not to have any kind of
that. Exactly.
But nowadays they teach him sign language, they teach him lip reading, so there's a number of achronim talk about it. Sam Sofer, I think, talks about, I forget who else talk about, but maybe nowadays indeed there is a difference in that regard in the halacha of a cheref. Boy, Rabbi. What happens if you have Sheves where he's off work for a while because of the pain while he's recovering? He will eventually recover, but right now, if you were to sell him right now as an Eved, you would have to sell him at a discount because of it. It's a temporary injury, in other words. So, Mahu. So what would be the din? Of course you pay Sheves. Do you also pay a Nezek or not? Hey, Chidomi, what's an example? Suppose that he hit him on his hand and it something it dried up or swelled up or whatever, it was injured, it's badly hurt. It's something other. The Seifa Lachzer, but eventually it will recover. He will recover his normal functioning. Tosfos points out that the question may be over here, this is the kind of injury where when the average person looks at it, they may not realize that it's going to event that he's going to eventually fully recover. So if you were to take him right now and sell him on the slave market, and he has this hand that looks all dried up or swelled up or whatever it is, a potential buyer would look at it and say, that hand is never going to be functional again. I demand the discount. Really, in the end, it will recover. So therefore, that's the question. So since it's going to eventually recover, maybe you don't have to pay him nezek for dmei yodei, because we know doctors evaluate it, let's say, but the average person wouldn't recognize it as such. Or maybe the fact is right now he's reduced in price, therefore maybe you do pay nezek. Tashma, a couple of mishnayos later in the parak. Said that we'll learn it tomorrow about Hashem. Says Hamaka of Chabura. If somebody hits his father or his mother, but did not cause a wound, did not cause bleeding, basically, because if he did, he'd be chayiv mitzah, and then kamlei b'dravavinet. But like this, there was no bleeding involved. Therefore, he's going to be chayiv to pay. Or if somebody injures another person on Yom Kippur, again, there's chiyuv kares for that because it's a malach. He did a malacha. He did a told of shochet. But on Yom Kippur, there's only a chiyuv kodesh, no chiyuv mitzvah based in, as opposed to Shabbos, where it would be a chiyuv mitzvah based in, and again, come live with the rabbi, chayiv v'kulam. So the Mishnah says he's chayiv in all five things. So, chayiv also chabura hechidomi. So what are we talking about? If we're saying, in the case of the parents, there was no chabura, there was no bruise cause, how is there a possibility that you'd be chayiv in all five things? Hechidomi. That would be an example like what we talked about over here. He hit his father on his hand, it withered, but eventually it's going to recover. So he's not chayiv mitzvah because he didn't cause a permanent injury.
But you don't have to cause a permanent injury.
That's the question. The katoni chayiv b'kulon. And we say that he's chayiv in all five things, implying that in that case you do pay nezek. So there's your answer.
Even though it's
only a temporary injury. Because right now, if you were to take the father and offer him for sale as a slave, or evaluate him to figure out a potential buyer would look at his hand and say, I demand the discount, that's never going to recover, not realizing that medically it will eventually. So, yeah. Amri said, answer, no, not necessarily, because you could be talking about a case where he hit his father and made him deaf, but didn't cause a wound in him. So there was no blood spilled. There was no blood, therefore there's no chiyuv mitzvah. That's what the Gemara is going to say in a second. Wait, but right now the Gemara is assuming that making him deaf doesn't necessarily involve any bleeding. Therefore, he's not chiyuv mitzvah, but as we just said, a deaf person is worthless for work, therefore there's nezek. The Gemara says, no, v'almer rabba, because we find that Rabba said, ha-chodesh as-aviv, no, fakert. If somebody makes his father deaf, nerag, then he is chiyuv mitzvah for it. because it's impossible for him to become deaf without there having been a bruise. Tipsa de dama, nafla le ba'udne, a drop of blood has come out of his ear, and that's what made him deaf.
Are we saying that he has to be completely deaf? Or he's partially deaf?
Doesn't really matter for our purposes. The point is, if there's
a loss of hearing, or it's a complete...
Yeah, the loss of hearing. But the point is, the point the Gemara is making, and the Rashba says this more explicitly, that this is what the Gemara means, is when you have an injury that's permanent, it implies that there was blood, that blood was shed somewhere in the body, yeah. As opposed, so the Gemara first assumed that a person can be deafened without that. Now the Gemara is saying, no, permanent deafness, of necessity there was blood involved. If there's blood involved, the son is chayav nisa. Come live with the rabbi. So it can't be that that's what the Mishnah is talking about. It must be. On the face of it. For there to be a case where he'd be chayav in everything, including nezek, it can't be a case where he made him deaf, because then he would be chayav misa and come live with the rabbi. Must be then a case like what we just said, where he temporarily injured his hand. No, the Gemara says still elahach of myaskin and kanchi gilchay. No, we could find another example. Suppose that he shaved him, so he made him worthless. Because a person buys a slave without hair, lachora he would do. Well, wait. Question: Gilchay mehader hader. If you shave him, fine, it'll grow back. What's the law? The Hainu Bayan. So lachora isn't that exactly our question? Fine. If you say lachora, if you're going to explain the Mishnah that way, that he shaved him and you're making him chayev for nezek, well, fine. By the same logic, if he injured his hand and eventually it will recover, that's also a temporary thing. And yeah, apparently you're saying he's chayev nezek. No. Amri. So they answer no. Hachav my skin and kenches sochay nasha. No, because you're not talking about that he shaved him as in he took a razor and shaved his hair. You're talking about that he applied cream. Nasha is some kind of cream. Not scalped him. That would literally be removing the skin. For sure, he'd be chayav nisa for that. There's necessarily going to be blood involved. No, he used some kind of defilatory, some kind of cream or chemical or whatever that removes the hair that he applied to his father's head. Deloy hodder. So then the hair is not going to grow back. So now we can consider, why does he have to pay all five things? It's like this. So the hair is never going to grow back. Therefore, that's the nezek, because now it's a mole. And now, before he had hair, now he doesn't. It's a permanent injury.
How do you evaluate things, by the way? I mean, it doesn't impact his work at all.
Wait. First, let's consider tzar de'isle kartufni bereshiv tzavchi mahu kartufni. So nezek is because now he has less hair, and therefore, first of all, there is the fact, without hair, he looks less attractive. Mm-hmm. The person buys an eved, he wants him to look normal. He doesn't want him to look like a freak.
It doesn't have any effect on the impact.
It does have an effect on his work, as we will see in a second, but wait. So how do we? So you definitely have nezek involved, because the hair is not going to regrow. So it's different than our case of the temporarily wounded hand, which will eventually recover. Here, the hair is never going to grow back. So nezek, you definitely have. Sar is the isle kartufni bereshis. Suppose that now the father has sores on his head, but tzavchi mahu kartufni, and he's in pain because of those sores, because the cream aggravates the sores, and now he has sar from that. You got to pay for that. Other mafosh learn actually that what it means is the other way around, that the cream causes, the Rambam seems to learn that way, the cream causes sores on his head, because it's strong stuff, yeah. Ripui is the boy asuya. You have to pay ripui because he needs medical bills for that. Again, he's in pain from the sores. Yeah? Sheves, why is there sheves? To have a malkid beikubi, because he would have been able to, and again, now he can't, while he's recovering, he would have been able to dance in a tavern. He would have been able to shake his head and do different kinds of tricks with his head, and also that I'm a mad with his hair, and now he can't. So one way of looking at it is he can't because he doesn't have hair to shake around. That's how the Rambam means it.
What about
the smeh talks about that we're talking about, not even the fact that he doesn't have hair. Fine, that would be included in nezek. The fact is, even without hair, he would have been able to shake his head, but now he can't because of his headaches, because of the pain. That's what we're talking about, is the Shevis. That's how this panel is.
What about getting married?
Can that be quantified in money? I don't know. Boshes, as far as that would be included in Boshes. I guess there's no greater Boshes than that, to be bald where before you had hair. So therefore, so you can see there, so not necessarily do you have to say that the Mishnah over there about the case where the person injured his father and yet is chayev in all five things and not chayev nisa, you can say that it didn't involve any blood, but it did involve removing all his hair, and therefore you see that all five things apply. So you don't have a proof one way or the other for that Mishnah. Three more points out. Now, this question that Abaya, that Rabbah had, this question that Rabbah had, where he injured his hand and will eventually fully recover, but right now it's injured, and therefore he would be worth less as a slave. Do you pay him nezek for that? Rabbah had that question. So Abaya assumed as a fact, Abaya didn't have the question, he assumed as a fact that the halacha is one way on it, and Rava assumes, as a given, that the halacha is the other way on it. So Rava, the Rebbe, had the question. Abaya decided that it must be this way, and Rava decided it must be this way. Namely, the Itmar, because we have a discussion, he kola yodav at some of a sofavach, so exactly this case, somebody hit somebody else's hand and injured it and made it wither, but eventually it will recover. Abaya says you give him big sheves and small sheves. So big sheves is another word for nezek. Big sheves, meaning in other words, small sheves is that while he's recovering, he can't do such and such work. Big sheves is another word for nezek, that permanently he will never be able to do this kind of work again. So according to Abaya, while he's in pain, he can't do any work. But even after he's no longer in pain, there's going to be a while before the hand actually regains its full functionality. He pays him Sheves Gadol for that. V'Rava Amar, and in Noisim Eilid Mei Shiv Tisha B'chol Yom V'Yom, and Rava says, no, you only pay him Sheves Kana, you just pay him the amount of Sheves day by day, as we said earlier in the Perek, that Sheves is paid that way. You calculate his actual loss of earnings right now. You don't consider the future because the fact is it will recover. Itmar. Now they had another discussion. Hakateya yad eved ivri shachaberi. Suppose somebody chops off the hand of somebody else's eved ivri. Now it's an eved ivri, where eventually he would end up going free after 6 years or what have you. So what do you do about it? Abaya omen noisim l'sheves doyla l'eved v'sheves kana l'rav. So Abaya says what you do is the nezek, the value of, now remember, before we were talking about you hit his hand and it will eventually recover. Here we're talking about a different scenario. You're back to, he chopped off his hand. It will never grow back. But the eved ought to be entitled to something of it because eventually he'll go free and he's going to live the rest of his life without a hand. On the other hand, the master is entitled to some payment also because he can't get work out of it. He can't get as much work out of the eved as before. So Abaya says you give the sheves gdola, the nezek, to the eved, the sheves ktana l'rav, and you give the small sheves, meaning what we usually call sheves, to the master. Rava says no, you give the whole thing to the eved, both the nezek and the sheves. What you do is you use that money to buy land, which that land will eventually belong to the eved once he goes free. Meanwhile, the master gets the payrus of that land, so therefore he gets the profits of it. Tosfos has a different girsa that what you do is you pay both the nezek and the sheves to the rav, but then after that it's the same thing. You buy karka and the rav eats payrus until you. So the Gemara says, pshita. Now it's obvious that pichis etzel asme veetzel rabba le pichis. Suppose that the damage reduced his own value, but didn't reduce his value as far as work for his master. It didn't prevent him from working. Hechidami, and the Gemara says, what's an example of the paskil l'resh unei l'resh nechire? Suppose, for example, somebody else cut off the tip of his ear or the tip of his nose. So he's not he can do just as much work as before, and there's not even really any sheves involved. He's not going to take off work because of that. Akolat. So then there's no question that all payments go to him. Pichas eitzel rabbi, but that would be an example. On the other hand, if it reduced his value to his master, that is close to Abaya v'Rava, then that affects the same machlokas of Abaya and Rava that we just said, whether the nezek goes to the eved and the sheves goes to the rab, or whether the whole thing is used to buy kaka. Allah is like Rava, as usual. So in the case where it caused the loss of work for the master, then you lock off ben kalkulus of payrus. Yeah, you buy kalkulus with the money, and the master eats payrus until the eved goes free, and then the eved goes to the eved. Yeah,
to the eved.
Okay. The Mishnah had said a boishes akolofi hamavayis ramisvayis. Boishes, you evaluate according to the one who caused the embarrassment and the one to whom it was caused. Because again, you know, as explained in the Mishnah over there and in Rashi over there, the point is, for example, you know, a higher ranking person, a more important person, has a greater busha than a person off the streets or whatever. Yeah, and the same thing, you know, a person who's embarrassed in public by an important person suffers less busha than somebody who's, you know, than somebody who just, you know, some yokel from the street corner goes and hits him. Yeah. Okay. Who is our Mishnah like in saying that? Lo Rav Meir v'lo Rav Yehuda, Ela Rav Shimon. Our Mishnah seems to not be like Rav Meir, not like Rav Yehuda, but rather like Rav Shimon. The Tznan, or the Tanya really, as we learn in a Braisa, the Kulon, in all cases where there's Boshas, Royanos and Tilim Necher and Shiyodim Nechseim, we always consider the person, whether he's rich, whether he's poor, whether he's high ranking socially or low ranking or whatever,
to evaluate
Boshas, what we always do is we consider him as if he was a Ben Churin, as if he was a free man, a well-to-do person, Shiyodim Nechseim, who lost his money. So you consider him you consider him like that. So in other words, Rashi says what you do is with a poor person, you don't consider him as a poor person because then it would be a big kula. There would be next to no boshes. For a rich person, you don't consider according to his actual riches because then there would be no the boshes would be a huge amount. So you consider it sort of in between. Shem Pnei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, because after all, Jewish people are the sons of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, so therefore they should be considered like they should be considered like free people, like a regular balabas who lost his money. Give it a name. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, a godel lefi godel levakot lefi kaitnei. No, a great person, a big person, you consider according to his greatness, a small person according to their smallness. You do actually consider their social status. Reb Shimon says, sort of in between, Ashirim Roinos and Kilim Bnei Chorin Shiyodim Echseim, with rich people, I agree with Reb Meir. You evaluate them like a person who lost his money. Because again, otherwise it would be too much for the Matzik to be paying. Aniyim Kipchusin Shebehan, and when it comes to a poor person, you consider them like a low-ranking poor person. So the point is that Reb Shimon is saying you make all on the Matzik either way. If the Nizik was rich, then you consider him as if he's a rich person who lost his money, where he doesn't suffer as much boshes. And if he's a poor person, you consider him like a poor person.
Meaning?
Again, less boshes. So the Shimon is always trying to be makel and boshes.
A poor person could say, it was also a lot of boshes.
There is a certain amount of boshes, obviously, but not as much.
As a rich person?
As a rich person, yeah. How much would a person have to be paid, basically, to make up for their boshes? So a rich person is going to require a lot more. Okay. So now let's consider. Now that we have those three opinions, let's look back
rich
at...
Don't care about their own boshes.
Okay. Rich people care a lot more about it, that's the point.
The way that they have.
What?
Some of them, the way that they have.
Fine. Well, okay. We'll learn more on the days about it. Okay. So, Mani Hashta. So now that we have all that, who is our Mishnah like? Eat a mayor. If it's like a mayor, can't be. The Mishnah had said that you always go according to the Nizik social standing. But a mayor, according to the mayor, there's no difference. Everybody is evaluated at the same rate. The Eat of Yehuda. And if you're going to say it's like Rabbi Yehuda, fine. The first part of our Mishnah works out well. But Masnissin Katani, but the Mishnah continued, that if you cause embarrassment to a blind person, you chayev. The Ilur of Yehuda almost suma and leboshes. Yet we find that Rabbi Yehuda says later on Amud Beis that a blind person does not have boshes. The Gemara is assuming, as it often does, that all the Mishnayos in one perek on one subject come from the same Tana. Therefore, that part's not like Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, the first part can't be either. Ela lav Rabbi Shimon. So Lachora, then our Mishnah must be like Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara says no. I feel the tamer of Yehuda. No. You could say that our Mishnah does go like Rabbi Yehuda, because ki amar Rabbi Yehuda suma en leboshes means lemishka mine. No, because when Rabbi Yehuda says a blind person doesn't have boshes, doesn't mean you don't pay him boshes if he was the victim. You mean if he was the one who caused boshes to somebody else, you don't make him pay for boshes. Because boshes, we established earlier in the Masechta, that you only pay boshes if you intended to cause injury, if you intended to cause boshes. And a blind person, he can't see what he's doing anyway, so therefore, all Rabbi Yehuda means is you don't collect boshes from him.
Because
he can't have known that he was causing boshes. But Rabbi Yehuda might agree that when it comes to if he is a victim, that you would pay him boshes to fuck or anybody else. So fine then, both the first Mishnah in the Perek, as well as the next Mishnah, about Tumah and Leboshes, could all be like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, the Gemara says, no, Vahamin Katani say, but no, that can't be, because the next Mishnah continues, Hamavayash at Yoshin Chayiv, if somebody causes Boshes to a person who's asleep, then he's Chayiv, because the person will wake up and find him for Boshes. Different. Here we're talking about blind, and here we're talking about sleeping. But the Yoshin should be Ishpatr. However, the Mishnah continues that if a sleeping person caused Boshes to somebody else while he was asleep, he's Potter, because again, he didn't have any intention. He's Chayev, we learned earlier, other Mu'ad La'olam, so you're Chayev for anything that happens while you're sleeping, but not Boshes. Boshes, there has to be Kavanah. Now, so we see the Mishnah makes those distinctions. The Mishnah distinguishes between whether the sleeping person was the one who caused the boshes or the one to whom the boshes was caused. The like Katani Summa should be a Shpatr. Now, the Mishnah should have, if that's what the Mishnah meant, a similar distinction with a blind person, it should have said so. Summa in le boshes, meaning that he doesn't have to pay out boshes. However, he gets boshes. But it doesn't say that. Miklal v'loy shenahachi v'loy shenahachi. So it must be that the Mishnah means regardless. According to Rabbi Yehuda, not the Mishnah, the Braisa rather, when Rabbi Yehuda says, Summa in le boshes, he must mean in both directions. He doesn't receive boshes and he doesn't pay boshes. So again, therefore, the Mishnah can't be like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Ela Machbarta must be from Rabbi Shimon. He's fine. It's clear that our Mishnah must indeed be like Rabbi Shimon. Man, next. Now that we have that, let's consider another Braisa that talks about this business of boshes and see which of these three opinions it follows. Who is the Tana of the following Braisa? If a person intended to cause boshes to a katan, later on the Gemara is going to discuss what katan and gadol mean in this context. Does it mean an age? Does it mean the social status? We'll see. So if he intended to do boshes to a katan, or boshes a gadol, and instead he did boshes to a gadol. Now, again, boshes requires kavanah. So like this, he intended to do only the amount of busha that a katan would have. But he ended up doing it to a gadol. Therefore, noisim a gadol, the made boshes or katan. Therefore, what you do is you pay this gadol the amount of the boshes that would go to a katan, that would be appropriate for a katan. Because that was what you intended to do.
Give us an example.
Let's put it in terms of money. You find out afterwards in Beis Din. Fine, but you could see, for example, you could see that he was aiming for Reuven and instead he hit. Yeah, you could say, for example. Whatever. Yeah, but you could have, for example, they saw that he's spitting in the direction of this guy, and instead, the wind carried and it landed on that guy.
You analyze the behavior.
Yeah, you whatever. You can,
derive intent from the behavior.
Anyway, so okay, I mean, let's put it in terms of numbers. You have the gadol, his boshes would be worth $20. Katan, his boshes would be worth $12. So you're paying $12. Leviathan, the Ebed of Beersh has been heard, and slowly if a person
there you
intended,
go by the magic.
You go according to his kavanah, is the point. You go according to his kavanah.
But the person who was caused the boshes may feel that the boshet was an adult, and even though the person caused the boshet was...
Fine, but boshes, that's the thing. Boshes is unique among the five that it depends on your intent. Again, all the other ones, doesn't matter your intent. We learned before that a person is sleeping and breaks kalim, he's still high of... he's still chayav for nezek on them, and if he kicks somebody while he's sleeping, he's still chayav for.
I understand you need intent. Okay. What I'm saying is the amount of boshet. Why should it be judged by the one who causes it rather than by one who receives it?
Because you intended to only cause a certain amount of boshet.
Even if you intended to cause a certain amount, the one who receives the boshet should be the one to determine how much he got.
But you don't. That's the thing, because you have to look at the person's intent. Because where do we have the concept of boshet? We learned before. Because you have the Gemara is going to quote it over here. B'shal yada v'afzika b'mavushav. The case where two people are fighting and one guy's wife intervenes and then she grabs a hold of the other guy in a sensitive area. So v'shal chayada, she stretches out her hand v'afzika b'mavushav and grabs him and his private part. The implication is there has to be intent that she actually meant. So therefore, there's a concept that that's how it is.
I understand the concept. Okay. Let's say with intent. You cause a boshet to a king. So even though you do something that is like a cotton would do for a
You're intending to do it to a cotton. Right. You intend to spit at the cotton, let's say.
Yeah.
And instead, the wind pulled it along, and then it landed on the face of the kitten. Yeah. Okay.
So
the only pain.
Why should you judge it in the amount that it would cause the cotton?
Because that's what it is. Because that was your intention. The shocha yada. That's the intention was. Yeah. It's just how it is. There's a cotton. Okay, let's go on. Levayish to Eved of Yishas Ben Chodin. Similarly, if a person intended to cause busha to an Eved, and instead he caused busha to a Ben Chodin, no son of Ben Chodin, you may bosh to Shalavin. Same thing. He pays the free person the amount that the Eved would have been paid for bushes. So, given that price of money, who is it like? Load of Meir, a load of Yehud, a load of Shin. It seems to be not like any of these three Tanarim. Because, Kasak, that cotton ben Achasim, Godol, Godol ben Achasim, we're assuming, for purposes of the question, that cotton and Godol mean in wealth and social standing. So therefore, Irab Meir, Hamakula Bahadi Adonin, you know, according to Rab Meir, there is no difference between rich and poor anyway. Everybody is evaluated at the same scale. So you can't say you pay the Godol the value of the cotton, the value of the brochures of the cotton, because according to Rab Meir, it's always a fixed amount anyway. The Irab Yehuda Hama in Lavad and brochures, it can't be like Rab Yehuda because he says later on that for an Eved there's no brochures. And the Rav Shimon, Haman Skavim Levayishas, there would be a Shabbatar. And Rav Shimon would hold that if you intended to cause Boshas to one person and instead cause it to another person, you completely potter.
I spit on someone and the spit goes to a king instead of going to the person.
According to Rav Shimon, you're potter. Why? But one second. Kiktola, because he says that Boshas is the same thing as the Dinim for murder. Mak Tola Adamus Kavanah, just like, now we've learned this before, we learned previously in our Masechta, the main place the Gemara talks about it is in Sanhedrin, that if a person intends to kill Reuven and instead kills Shimon, according to Shimon, he's Potter. Why? Adamus Kavanah, unless he intends his actual victim. Because he says, because the Pasuk says that he lies in wait for him, he ambushes him, and rises up against him and kills him, implying that it has to be that he intended to kill this particular person. So the Chachamim disagree, because they doubt in the Pesukim differently, as the Gemara says over there. But according to Reb Shimon, you're Potter, Boshas Nami Adam Kavanlay. According to Reb Shimon, the same thing, you're Potter by Boshas. If you intended to cause Boshas to one person, you accidentally did it to another. Again, because she stretches out her hand and grabs him in his private parts. Again, Adshias Kavanlay. According to him, that means you have to actually have intention. So this Braita that says that if you meant to be Mavayish cotton and instead you did a Godol, you pay the Godol, the value of the cotton, according to the Meir, there's no difference between cotton and Godol. According to the Yehuda, an Eved, there's no Bosha, so you can't say you paid Ben Chorin the value of the Eved. And according to the Shimon, you're completely Potter. Which of these three Tanoim is this Braita like? The answer is no. La'olam Rabbi Yehuda. It could be like Rabbi Yehuda after all. And again, we could argue. Rabbi Yehuda ain't lavad and boshes. Again, when Rabbi Yehuda says that avadim do not have boshes, maybe he means only in one direction. L'meis v'lehu. And Eved does not get paid boshes. Aval l'meisham shayminan v'lehu. Not one direction, rather. And Eved, it's true. If you were to be mevayish an Eved, you wouldn't pay him anything. Avadim according to Rabbi Yehuda have no boshes. However, you can still use him as a proxy for figuring out for Ben Chorin, for a free person, how much would he be willing to take. In other words, you figure out like this. It's true. We consider Halacha and Eved has no boshes. After all, though, he is a human being. It would be possible. You could offer him how much would you be willing to take to suffer this kind of boshes. And therefore, you have a dollar value. And now you apply it to the Ben Chorin.
Even if let's say, you're an Eved of a king, Eved of Avraham Avinu, Eliezer, everybody respected him, and everybody knew that he was...
Okay, according to Rabbi Yehuda, ain la'avodim, but we'll learn about tomorrow. We'll learn about why Rabbi Yehuda says that. Wait. The point is, therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, ain la'avodim boshes, in that he doesn't actually get paid, but you can still use him to figure out how much would be paid. Fine. Or yet another possibility is you could say that the Braisa, after all, is like Rav Meir, because Misaber Godol means Godol and Achasim and Katan means Katan and Achasim. You're assuming that Godol and Katan mean in wealth and in social standing. No, look, Godol, Godol, Mamash, for Katan, Mamash. No, Godol and Katan mean exactly what it sounds like, an older person and a younger person. Rav Meir says that you do everybody as if they were Ben Chor and Shiyorim and Achasim, but that's talking about adults. Children have to be evaluated in their own way. So therefore, yes, a child's boshas is less than an adult's. Okay, so the question is, cotton bar boshas, ooh, is a cotton boshas worth anything? The answer is and yes, k'd'omer Rapapa, just like Rapapa says in the Sugya on Omid Bey, near the end of the Sugya, Rapapa says, that we're talking about a child who's old enough that if you embarrass him, he will feel the embarrassment, and then you pay him boshas. The same thing over here. The same thing over here. We're talking about a child who not so much he gets embarrassed at the time. Even a very small child will. Rashi says what it means is later on, if you were to remind him of that boshas sometime later, he would feel bad about it. That's an older child. So there comes a point in a child. There comes a point in a child's development when he's old enough to feel that kind of thing. That when he's reminded about it, he'll be embarrassed. That's what we're talking about over here. Means. So let's say, for example, the average kid reaches that point when they're, I don't know, let's say 8, 9 years old, 7 years old, let's say. So fine, you intended to spit at a 7-year-old. Instead, the spit landed on an adult. You're going to pay the adult the amount you would pay the 7-year-old for his version. Mishnah said.
You done, by the way?
I didn't yet, but there's another. Do they still have the 940 minion going on? Has it been going on lately?
Sometimes, yes, sometimes,
yeah. Okay, so in that case, I guess we can stop here and down the mire at 9:30.
Yes, it's summer because the night, and then people go to the
cockpit. Fair enough. Okay.
Never mind.